Good morning with KUAC News. I'm Dan Bross. Alaska Governor Mike Dunleavy yesterday unveiled a sweeping budget proposal that would dramatically reduce state spending. KTOO and Alaska Public Media's Andrew Kitchenman reports.
About $1.2 billion in cuts will happen under this proposal. And there'll be about $400 million less that municipalities with oil infrastructure would receive in property taxes. The amount public schools receive for each student would drop by $300 million, or more than a quarter of what the state is spending. Many smaller school programs aimed at supplementing classroom learning would be eliminated. Medicaid would see a $275 million reduction, and that's about a 40% cut. The Alaska Marine Highway System funding would be cut by about $100 million, with funding ending at the end of the summer. Governor Dunleavy says he focused on funding services that affect most Alaskans. But certain services that benefit rural and coastal Alaska will see steep cuts. Here's how the governor put it.
It's going to touch all Alaskans, no matter where they live and no matter what they do. It's going to be a different way of budgeting, and all Alaskans are going to have to pull together to make sure that we get through this process.
Rural and coastal lawmakers, as well as education advocates, are already pushing back on the budget. In Juneau, I'm Andrew Kitchenman.
The governor's budget proposal lops $134 million from the University of Alaska's budget, reducing general fund support from $327 million to $193 million, a cut UA President Jim Johnson says would require drastic actions.
To close campuses, to close programs, we have to do less with less. We've heard that statement coming out of Juneau recently. That's what we're going to have to do in a pretty dramatic way.
President Johnson provided some perspective on the magnitude of the proposed reduction.
All of UAA is $120 million. So closing the entire UA campus does not meet this cut.
Johnson says everything is on the table as UA administrators and regents discuss how to absorb such a large cut, with a focus on more narrowly defining the university's missions and identifying the programs which support them. A giant in Alaska's political history has passed. Former state lawmaker Jack Coghill of Nenana died yesterday at the age of 93. KUAC's Tim Ellis reports.
Jack Coghill's son, State Senator John Coghill, said Wednesday that his dad died peacefully at the younger Coghill's home in North Pole after months of declining health.
This is not a big shocker, but it's, you're never ready for somebody to leave you.
Jack Coghill was born in Fairbanks in 1925 when Alaska was still a territory. He served a tour of duty during World War II, then settled in Nenana to help his father run the Coghill General Store, which the family still operates. Coghill was elected to the territorial house in 1952 and again in 1956, the same year he was elected as a delegate to the Alaska Constitutional Convention. The 55 delegates wrote the Alaska Constitution during the convention held at the University of Alaska Fairbanks, and Coghill's signature was the third on the document. His passing leaves only one surviving delegate, former State Senator Vic Fisher, who also served in the territorial legislature. Coghill ran unopposed for a seat in the State House in 1960 after Alaska achieved statehood. He took a few years hiatus before resuming his political career in 1984 when he was elected to the State Senate. In 1990, the lifelong Republican quit the party to run for lieutenant governor on the Alaska Independence Party ticket, headed by Wally Hickel. Coghill said in a 2017 interview that his most noteworthy political achievement was upholding the important role of the minority party. That was the Republican Party during those days of Democratic political dominance in Alaska.
I think the most important thing that I did was that I was always making sure that the minority had a chance to say what they had to say. And say, let them talk. Let them do their thing.
John Coghill was on a trip to Cordova when his father passed away. While waiting for a flight back to Fairbanks, he says he's still trying to figure out how to best give tribute to his father.
So I will be pondering how to kind of honor him the best I know how, with some of the good history and some of his family contributions, things like that.
Arrangements for memorial services and interment were still pending as of Wednesday afternoon. In Fairbanks, I'm Tim Ellis.
The World Ice Art Championships open today at the Tananaw Valley Fairgrounds in Fairbanks. KUEC's Robin reports.
There was plenty of cutting ice with chainsaws, moving it with huge forklifts, and scraping pretty designs into it at the ice park.
I like this park a lot better than the old one. Everything's a little bit tighter together. It looks a little bit more homey. It's not so wide open. We're all going to be back in the trees carving, which is going to be a nice ambiance.
That's Daniel Howell from South Carolina. This is the third year he has come for the competition, but he was also participating in the Boot Camp, a teaching institute Ice Alaska opened to carvers both amateur and experienced. He and Jake Bindersek were pouring water through a fire hose to make an ice rink. The kids' park is ready, and carvers can turn their attention now to the three professional competitions, which are timed. The single block carving, in which one person has 36 hours to make a sculpture, is open to 20 people. The two block contest is for teams of two people to make a sculpture in about 60 hours. And the multi-block classic lets teams of four people have 5 days to make those huge artworks the event is known for. That's why sculptors come from all over the world.
Day by day, they're all going to start trickling in, and I can't wait to see, you know, my ice brethren and sisters coming in here soon.
Dee Dee Dalen is coordinating a lot of logistics. She says the carvers are looking for the next generation with an ice sculpting class for teenagers.
Then over spring break, we have a youth classic, and we're hoping to get some that want to learn how to work with ice and learn that medium.
Joan Foote and Ross Hansen returned to warm Fairbanks from South Dakota to volunteer for a few months.
I coordinate the sculptor support office, which means that we register everybody and house them or get the houses for them.
One thing she does do that not many people can do, she learns how to pronounce all the names. When you have the Mongolians come over here and they have names with 12 consonants and one vowel, kind of hard to pronounce.
Mongolia is one of about 90 countries that have been represented in past competitions. Dalen says the artist's calendar is jammed between now and middle March, and what the park needs now is volunteer support.
For the gift shop, for ticketing, for first aid, for security, weather permitting, will open till the end of March, so we have potential 46 days of volunteer coverage that we need.
The park is open 10 a.m. to 10 p.m., 7 days a week. In Fairbanks, I'm Robin.
And I'm Dan Bross.